What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to Tom in Florida. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Mike. Hey, did you see the Senate's getting ready to pass a new bill limiting the amount of times that you can even borrow on your 401k? Three times.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, it just came out. It was one little small blurb on CNN yesterday, so I started digging around the internet. Chicago Tribune picked it up, and it says bill would make it tougher for workers to tap 401k.
And well, the reason they're doing it, you know, the government wants all that money to be held in abeyance because they're probably going to have to dip into themselves down the road. And right now, a lot of Americans who have run out of unemployment benefits and they've run out of savings, they're having to go into their 401ks, either direct withdrawal, which has serious tax consequences, or they're basically taking out loans against the 401k as collateral. And the U.S. government knows that, contrary to the propaganda, the economy is still going downhill because we don't have manufacturing. And if we don't have manufacturing, we can't get the jobs back to the American people that powered the American economy. 60% of the economy used to be consumer spending. You can't prosper an economy by hiring a bunch of people with rubber gloves to fondle everybody at the airport. That does not make a nation prosperous. And so the U.S. government understands there's a bigger financial crash on the way, and they're basically laying the groundwork to go in and grab your retirement savings. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, they're probably going to do this after the 2012 election, where they're going to mandate a whole new super Social Security that you'll be required to turn in. Your IRA and your 401k and any other retirement program that you're in is all going to get nationalized, and they're going to take the money and use it on wars and Wall Street and Israel, and then they'll promise you that they'll take care of you when you get older. And yet, as I was telling that other caller, what happens right now when all the people who've spent their entire lives paying into the system and now they're old and retired and ill, what is the government saying? Oh, you're a burden on the system. Go away. We shouldn't have to be taking care of you. We've got to cut spending on you because we've got to buy more bombs. And so anybody who trusts this government to take their money and give it back to them down the road, it's a scam. It's snake oil.
Well, you know, they had a report back in 1996 called Air Force 2025, and on that timeline, they talked about a HERF attack in 2012. So they're going to get all the eggs in that basket. They're not even going to probably do the Social Security thing. And I was noticing in here not too long ago, whenever they reduced the Social Security that they're taking from our paychecks, Bill Clinton had to produce that to the American people for Obama because he just couldn't get it out in words well enough.
Okay, you lost me there on that last one. I mean, my understanding is that
if you look at your check now, they're only deducting about 4% instead of 7.65% of your Social Security out of your check every week.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's really an improvement. I mean, at one point, I think that came in at the same time they were telling people to start setting up their own private retirement accounts that were going to be beyond the reach of the government to tamper with, because back when Clinton was looting Social Security, it was a big, huge scandal. And everybody said, okay, we better look after our own retirement, and people were being encouraged to play in the stock market and put it all in there. But now at this point, you know, these laws saying you can't even go into your own retirement savings now is because the government understands that, you know, they're going to have to do wealth confiscation at some point. Before the final crash, they're going to come and take what's left of your money. They'll confiscate your gold, your silver, even your copper, and all your savings and all your bank accounts. Because that's what the government does when things get really hard. Roosevelt did it with gold back in 1933. The U.S. has been doing it with your houses over the last 10 years. And, you know, anything that you've got that the government thinks is valuable, they're going to come and take from you before they will admit that they have failed as a government and resign from office.
Okay, thank you for your time, man.
All right, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill,
Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And just looking all over the corporate media, yeah, this is the spin. Obama standing up to Israel. Obama proving how tough he is, how he is going to be the fair arbiter of it. That's the spin. Obama's tough, pushing for the 1967 borders. Ooh, Israel will be mad with him. No, they won't. They told him, sure, go ahead and talk about the 1967 borders. Because what Obama actually said is for Palestine to not declare a state now, but to go back to the negotiating table, which puts Israel back in control of Palestine's eventual statehood, which means it'll never happen. Now, the unified government of Palestine is not going to go for this. They're going to go ahead and declare statehood, and then Obama will say, how dare you do that? We had a roadmap. We had a path to peace. And it's more talk. Today's speech was a campaign speech, and its purpose has nothing to do with Israel or Palestine. The White House understands that the American people are getting the message. No government can serve two masters, and a government that serves Israel is not serving the American people. Barack Obama knows he's looking to be a one-term president. He didn't get a huge approval bump from claiming that he got Osama bin Laden. He got a little tiny bump that lasted about 2 weeks, and it's already gone. He can't run on the economy. He can't run on the existing wars. He's not going to be able to run on the new wars he's starting. They're so desperate, they're already back to waving the birth certificate issue around so that you can play for sympathy and say, oh, they're being mean to me. Please give me my job back again so that, you know. And so this speech today has nothing to do with Israel and Palestine. It's Barack Obama trying to pretend that he's standing up to Israel because he knows the American people are sick and tired of the United States government groveling before Israel, election after election after election after election. By the way, interesting story in the New York Times. Somebody did a study of the wealth broken of America, broken down by religious groups, and it's not a stereotype. The Jews really do have all the money. And the New York Times said so. So I guess it's not an anti-Semitic smear anymore to say that that's exactly what's going on, because the New York Times said, yeah, they do. They got the money. I wonder how they got it. According to Ruth Madoff, it's all the Gentiles' fault. All righty. Anyway, so, yeah, that's the spin. Barack Obama is already campaigning for 2012, and he's trying to look tough like he's standing up to Israel, and he won't. He's giving Israel exactly what they want. Halt Palestinians' declaration of statehood and get them back to the negotiating table so that Israel can just sit there and stall and stall and stall and stall and stall. And more of your money will be taken from you and poured all over Israel in the name of poor little victim Israel having to defend itself. Israel doesn't need your money. They're the sixth most powerful nuclear power in the world. They just want your money. Now, getting back to the situation with Matt Taibbi's latest Rolling Stone article, it's called A New Wall Street Investigation, Is the Hammer Finally Coming Down? And again, you know, Matt is really, he's on top of all of these things, but he's a little bit naive. Because the reason for this new investigation into the mortgage-backed security fraud is not to actually find justice or get the truth or seek retribution or even a refund for the American people, the $27 trillion we all lost in this debacle. It's coming into the election year. Congress wants to look like it's taking care of this problem. Oh, yes, the American people are righteously angry at having lost 23% of their net worth because of Wall Street. We must get to the bottom of it. And they're going to have a big investigation, and they're going to have a big show, a lot of TV coverage, everybody saying, oh, let me on the camera, let me on the camera. And they'll come out there and say, yes, this was really terrible. And they won't mention that most of Congress were personally invested in these companies making money. That's why they voted through TARP. Against the will of the American people. So it's posturing, and in the end, nothing will be done. I can tell you already what the conclusion of the investigation is going to be. It was a systemic failure, and the fault for this disaster is spread across so many people that to prosecute anyone individual would not be fair. And that'll be it. Nobody has been arrested for looting the American people, for this the biggest financial swindle in history. $27 trillion it's cost America by Dylan Radigan's figures. And nobody's been arrested. Nobody's been handcuffed. Nobody's got their perp walk and their day in court. They're all writing themselves record bonuses, laughing how clever they were. They got to dump the losses all on the American people. And nothing will be done. They'll act like it's going to be done because it's an election year. And once the election is over, it'll go back to business as usual. Let's see. Out here in Hawaii, Governor Neil Abercrombie has launched a 90-day plan to clear out the Hawaii homeless. And he went out and made a big speech about he's got a 90-day plan to move the homeless into shelters. Neil, if there were shelters, the homeless would be in them. They're not there. And we do have a major homeless problem in this island, although I guess if you're going to be homeless someplace, Hawaii is as good a place as any. And there's an interesting admission within the article. The Associated Press notes the timing of the plan, the 90-day plan, will leave the streets more presentable when the president visits the state. This isn't about the homeless. This is about looking good for his highnessness, for his Obama-ness. We want the streets more presentable. Yes, our government and our economy have made all these people homeless, but that's no reason we should be forced to look at them. Let's just sweep them out of the way. There are no shelters for these people to go to, or they would be in the shelters. That's why they're camped out in the parks and on the beaches, especially around that leeward side. You know, when the tsunami came in, they literally had to go down and tell the homeless people, you got to get off it, there's a tsunami coming in. And again, it just betrays this idea of we're not going to actually bring the jobs back, we're not going to get rid of TSA so our tourism can come back. We're just going to brush them out of sight, out of mind. If we can get them to go someplace away from where the tourists or the president might seat them, then the problem is solved. And, of course, no, it isn't. All right, going to take a few minutes here to go to Fukushima. The situation there continues to be unraveling more from the cover story than from the actual radiation. The radiation problem is there, and it's not going away. I'm getting emails from people all across the United States of America with their own radiation meters, and they're saying, yeah, it's ticking up. It's still low, but it's going up inexorably. Same thing here in Hawaii. It's being reported that the radiation level at the number 3 reactor water intake is rising. That means there's so much radiation coming out of the reactor, it's actually flowing against the current on the water intake here. And it's basically cesium-134, which suggests that fission is still taking place in the ruined core of the reactor. Remember, all these many weeks after it happened, TEPCO's finally admitting all 3 reactors melted down, burned through the pressure vessel and containment that first day. And they just basically kept the lid on it. Right now, inside the radiation, inside the buildings, radiation levels are 30,000 counts per minute. That is lethal. And more importantly, it's now coming out that in the first couple of weeks, TEPCO was not doing accurate radiation levels or testing or even dosimeters on the workers. Now we've got workers who are dying, and the official story is unknown causes. Now, getting cooked from the inside sounds like a real good candidate. Standing right next to the world's worst nuclear disaster sounds like a good place to start if you're looking for a cause of death. And now we're finding out that nobody really knows how much radiation has escaped from this disaster because they weren't really keeping track of it in the early part of this disaster, when we now know the worst part of the radiation leaks were occurring during the actual meltdown. We're now hearing that, as we mentioned the other day, the EPA is now going to stop daily monitoring of radiation across the United States of America. And they'll do radiation sampling once every 3 months and send us a report. Prior to Fukushima, there was supposed to be a continuous automated monitoring system called RadNet. Now we're finding out that, you know, half of it was not working and was out of calibration. And some very sharp people noticed that all of a sudden when they recalibrated it right after Fukushima, the counts all went down. So was it in error before Fukushima, or is it out of calibration now? And is it part of this whole thing of downplaying this whole situation in order to save the nuclear power industry and the seafood fishing industries? It's just, you know, nuts here. Alrighty, let's go on to some computer stuff here right now. I'm getting tired. Long day here. A lot of stuff to talk about. Phone lines are still open, 800-313-9443. Now, as we all know, a major feature of the Internet that we all use are search engines. And more, we're coming to understand that search engines are not, how shall I put this, democratic. They're not always going to give you an even selection of everything that's out there in the world. We're finding more and more that Facebook and Google and America Online and various other of these large corporate Internet hubs are filtering what you see. And overtly, it is so that you only see the things that you want to see. And they do targeted sales marketing to you, and that all sounds well and good. But the reality is that over time, your Internet through these hubs becomes simply more of what you've already seen, and you don't see new things, interesting things, things that are outside the box, things that might intrigue you if you could see them. And carried to a logical extreme, it basically means that the Internet, instead of educating you and enlightening you about the world, is only reinforcing the vision of the world you currently have. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to take a phone call now. David in Iowa. Aloha, David. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Not much. I was listening to you talk.
Oh, well, thank you for calling. I'm sorry. I'm in a mood today. Pay no attention to me.
Okay. Well, the tarp issue that you were talking about before, and how they used to buy the troubled assets, the toxic assets. No, what they actually did with it. They actually just recapitalized the banks. And yes, Americans were like, what, 95% all said no, and Congress actually voted no the first time.
Well, the House voted no. Let me interrupt here for a second because this is kind of shows how weird this was done, okay? Because the House originally voted no because the American people were saying, do not use our money to save the bankers from their own stupidity. And the House voted it down. So then they put a bill through the Senate, and they got that through the Senate. And then they brought it back for the House to vote it through again. And there was arm twisting. And after it was all done, we had that wonderful picture of Nancy Pelosi and all these other members of Congress. And they're laughing and happy as all heck because they just saved their own investment portfolios on the back of the American taxpayer. But the interesting thing is, under the Constitution, the Senate is not allowed to initiate revenue actions. All revenue bills must initiate in the House, and then the Senate gets to approve. And so the entire process by which TARP was passed was constitutionally flawed.
Well, I don't know if it's, I'm not a constitutional scholar, I wouldn't know if that was a revenue action, but I do know that that I believe that a vast majority of the congressmen, of course, when you get to the political leadership, of course, those people are going to be saving their own butts all the time. But a vast majority of the House was scared by Henry Paulson into doing this, because they literally said, you know, $550 billion disappeared from the money markets within a few hours. The Treasury couldn't stop it. So they had to shut those down. Otherwise, they said trillions of dollars would have been gone. And that's why all these people jumped on this bandwagon. And then, you know,
well, that was the warning shot. The warning shot from the foreign banks who'd become aware that the whole mortgage-backed security thing was a scam and a fraud. And that was the warning shot where, you know, they came over and they said, let's settle this nicely. You have to buy back all these fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. And Wall Street said, hey, it's not our problem. You know, let the buyer beware. You bought them, you're stuck with them. And so all, you know, Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse and Bank of England and Bank of Libya and all these banks who had bought into this thing, they staged this raid on the American financial system. Now, it's all done on computers. The U.S. government knows who was taking that money out of the financial system. The reason they didn't tell you is because if the American people knew it was Credit Suisse and Deutsche Bank and the rest of these people yanking the money out, they'd say, why are they doing such a thing? And the answer was something Wall Street was not ready to let the American people know. So that was the warning shot. Well, you know, the rest of the banks of the world were saying, you either make good on all this bad paper or we'll crash your system.
And then the Federal Reserve started handing out trillions of dollars like it was nothing.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened.
Okay. Oh, and I had one comment about the EPA thing real quick. It's really funny how they can't find funding to do daily radiation scans in a few areas in the U.S., but they can find all the funding in the world to scrap industrial boilers or put Energy Star appliances on there, because that makes money.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, the big push is to demonize carbon dioxide and get a carbon tax in there. You know, they can't use Fukushima to start a war. They can't really justify collecting taxes from us for General Electric's bad reactors and stuff like that. And they can't fix the problem, so they're going to pretend it just doesn't exist. But, you know, we see this all the time. Oil in the Gulf of Mexico, no problem. Radiation in the Pacific, no problem. Plague in Arizona, no problem. But carbon dioxide, by golly, we got to do something about that.
Yeah. All right, well, have a good one, and only one day left till the apocalypse.
till the rapture. We're going to have a big party. You know, on Sunday, after they're all gone, we're going to have a looting party. We're going to go out there and just, you know, the goodies are going to be up for grabs. Talk about a yard sale on a planetary scale.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks an awful lot. Okay. By the way, okay, the Christian groups that are not connected with the one claiming the rapture is going to happen are now screaming, this is a plot by the atheists to make Christians look bad. You don't need our help. Thank you very much. Anyway, moving right along here, back to the situation on the computer front. According to Microsoft, 1 in 14 downloads is malicious. 1 in 14 of the files that you download from the Internet are going to contain malware. And, of course, Microsoft is saying, you must buy new security. I think it'd be cheaper if we just start shooting the hackers. I mean, the U.S. government, they're grabbing Arabs just because they have a cheap Casio watch on. Okay, this one's expensive, but and they waterboard these guys. Just on that. Oh, he's got a Casio. Waterboard him. Why can't we have that kind of enforcement against the hackers? Because if you look at the billions of dollars that computer crime is costing America, the threat to our infrastructure from worms like Stuxnet, which may still yet be implicated in the Fukushima disaster, why are we not dedicating more resources to the computer criminals who are demonstrably causing more damage to the United States than Osama bin dead for 10 years? Because there's money to be made selling you computer protection software. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with Micro Plant Powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of Micro Plant Powder with Lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro Plant Powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Micro Plant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America, and welcome back to the show here. And I want to skip back for a moment onto President Obama's speech regarding Israel and Palestine earlier today. And the American media is continuing to portray this as Obama showing spine and standing up to Israel. But Haaretz, the Israeli media, is saying this is a major diplomatic victory for Benjamin Netanyahu. And they're saying that despite all the talk about 67 borders and negotiations, the real payoff is that Obama is basically saying we will continue to guarantee Israel security, meaning the money will keep on flowing, and that the U.S. agrees to a gradual withdrawal from the West Bank. In other words, it doesn't matter if Palestine declares itself a state tomorrow. The U.S. policy will be that Israel will leave the West Bank when Israel feels comfortable doing so. When do you think that might happen? So, Barack Obama will be speaking before AIPAC on Sunday morning. That will be the speech that really signals his intentions. But the Israelis are saying this is a victory for them, because it heads off the declaration of a Palestinian state. If you think Obama's speech was all about Israel and Palestine and bringing peace to the region, you got snookered. Well and truly snookered. You've been had. This was a campaign speech for 2012 to convince you that Barack Obama is finally showing some spine against Israel. Remember, a year ago, when Israel murdered an American aid worker, 19-year-old kid from New York, lying on the deck of an aid ship in international waters, and the Israelis just pumped bullets into him, Barack Obama ran up to the United Nations and said, it's okay, it's really okay, Israel's allowed to kill as many Americans as they want. Do not be fooled by this speech. Do not be fooled by the corporate media's attempt to lionize Obama for having courage and spine and standing up to Israel. He isn't. He gave them what they wanted. Delay, 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 delay. It's all talk and nothing is being done. He's basically saying it's okay that there's no Palestinian state for another couple of years because there will be down the road. They've been saying that for 20 years and it hasn't happened. The Israeli media is saying it's a huge victory. Obama gave Netanyahu everything Netanyahu wanted. And he sold it to you in a way to make it look like he, Barack Obama, was the hero. And he isn't. He's just the Israelis' houseboy, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. All right, getting back to the topic of computers here. As I mentioned over the last couple of weeks, we've had this sort of schism between the Windows users and the Macintosh users, where Macintosh has up until now been relatively free of the scourge of computer crime. There have been a few things, but not very many. And most Macintosh users are Macintosh users because of this image put out by Apple that their computers are somehow magically immune to computer crime. And it's simply not true. The hackers don't bother with Macintoshes because up until recently there really weren't enough of them to make it worthwhile. It wasn't profitable compared to the Windows users. You know, the hackers are going to go to the target-rich environment. In the early days of computer hacking, where most of the computers on the internet were Unix machines, all of the hacking and all the games and all the criminality were taking place on Unix boxes. Then Windows came along and everybody had a computer in their home, and Windows machines started to outnumber Unix machines, and the hackers simply swapped over. And they went to the target-rich environment where they can expect to maximize the profitability of their criminal enterprises. Well, now Macintosh is commanding a larger and larger share of the market. And to be honest and fair, they deserve it. They make good hardware. They do make software that is not quite anywhere near as buggy as Windows. And in the paradigm of computer as appliance, Macintosh is really, really very good. And I do like their computers. But this idea that they're somehow magically immune from viruses and malware is nonsense. And now that the malware writers, the hackers, are starting to target the machines, Mac users, they're like babes in the woods. They haven't spent the last 5, 10, 15 years dealing with hackers and computer criminals, and they're clueless. They really are. They've been relying on their faith and belief that the machines are immune. And so now, all of a sudden, somebody leaked a document from inside Apple. And it is a directive to the frontline support people, the ones who interface with the public, on how to handle customers who are calling about malware infections on their computers. The Apple support representatives are being ordered by Apple to neither confirm nor deny that malware is out there or that an infection exists, and not to try and remove it because it will wreck the computer. So malware is out there. Apple is trying to hide that because a big part of their marketing over the last several years, over the last decade, has been, we don't get the viruses and bugs that the Windows machines do. Well, yeah, now they do. And it's a completely out of control situation. And again, the problem is there's so much money to be made off of computer security. The government doesn't want to do anything about it. It's a big protection racket. You got to buy protection for your computer or something bad going to happen. It's like, you know, it's a modern protection racket. And it's billions and billions of dollars over and above the losses from computer crime. And it is out of control, and perhaps it's very, very telling that just as the White House has announced a new cybersecurity initiative, which they'll enforce as effectively as the last cybersecurity initiative, Homeland Security's top cybersecurity official has resigned and quit his job, run screaming down the street, hurling his laptop onto a fire hydrant or something. I don't know. But again, this is another one of these election year dodges. The government comes out and says, we must have new regulations for this and new regulations for that. We have regulations. We got more regulations than we know what to do with. The problem is they're never enforced. What Bernie Madoff with the loot did was illegal. The laws were not enforced. What Deepwater Horizon was doing down in the Gulf was illegal. Those laws were not being enforced. You cannot look to a government to say, oh, we're going to have a new initiative and a new law and a new this and a new that, when they're not enforcing the ones they've already got. Because it's just more campaign season electioneering. We're going to take care of you by coming up with another pretty printed piece of paper called a Senate bill that will make your life better. No, it doesn't. It's just another pretty printed piece of paper that you are required to accept in lieu of real improvement in the nation. And all these ambitious security this and all of this, it's a joke. It's empty advertising. Because if they're not enforcing the existing laws, they're not going to enforce the new ones. It's just for show. It's just part of the pageant. It's part of the charade, the theater, to convince you that this government really cares about you and your businesses and your computers. And they don't. You're just here to be fleeced and looted to make the rich richer. Stop listening to what they say and look at what they do. Now, state lawmakers are looking at bills sponsored by the Recording Industry Association of America to allow warrantless random searches of companies that are pressing CD and DVDs. The idea being to stem the scourge of piracy. And my sympathies are with the copyright holders. Don't get me wrong on this thing. My sympathies are with the copyright holders. But the RIAA is dealing with the fact that music sales are down, music revenues are down, TV revenues are down, and they're saying, oh, it's the pirates, let's go out there and do that. And piracy is a problem, don't get me wrong. It is a problem. But you know something? The reason the revenues are down, we're in a terrible crashed economy, and second, the product isn't that good anymore. I mean, I hate to sound like an arts snob, but I'm looking at our cable TV channels, and it's the same stuff over and over and over again. We've had the Bourne Ultimatum, you know, on 20 times this month. And it's the same stuff, and reality shows up the yin-yang. Nobody's got money to do really nice, cool new shows. It's, you know, 99 channels of the same three programs is what it's looked like. And American pop music, and I'm sorry to offend those of you who are pop musicians, but it all, you know, after all this market testing and everybody trying to sound like whoever's hot this week, it all really sounds the same. I mean, my own tastes in music run to my wife's music, which is unconventional, and a lot of this folk music from other parts of the world, because it's different and it's new and it's fresh and it's interesting to listen to. I turn on the AM radio in that POS Xterra, and no matter what button you push, it's the same stuff over and over and over again. Somebody makes a new song, and it's played 15,000 times. And that's the reason revenues are down for the record and TV and film industry. It's the same crap over and over and over and over again. And if we didn't buy it the first time, we're not going to buy it the second time. And most of it is so bad, it isn't even worth buying from the pirates. If you want your revenues to go up, start working on the quality of your content rather than trying gaming the system to maximize your profitability by another few pennies. So, anyway, they're going to go into these CD and DVD makers and they're going to waste a lot of time and a lot of taxpayer money because they're not going to find anything. They're not going to find anything because the scourge of piracy is nowhere near as big as they want to make it out to be. They're looking for somebody to blame for the failing businesses. And they don't want to admit that they cut too many corners on the creation of the content. They went with the really cheap show, variations on a theme of, oh, let's make fun of people on the internet. Let's have a reality show about strange. And it's, you know, after a while, I'm tired of seeing the same stuff repackaged over and over again. If you want to fix the media piracy problem, okay, then you have to start by fixing the criminality with the entire country. Rivero's rule of mass morals. All organizations eventually inherit the personality and moral ethics of the person at the very top. If you want a population that does not steal copies of music, you must have a government that does not steal other nations' wealth. A criminal government begets a criminal population. It is impossible to convince young people that stealing a copy of a file is a big deal when they're seeing the President of the United States steal other people's oil fields. You can't, you know, if leadership is leading by example, where if President Obama does not want people stealing copies of movies and TV shows, then he's got to say, all right, you got to pay for your entertainment, and we got to pay for the oil. We can't just go out and take it. As long as they continue this do as we say, not as we do, respect for the government will continue to decline. I don't approve of file copying of movies and music and so forth and so on, but I certainly understand why it's taken so lightly. It's small potatoes compared to the crimes and theft we're seeing the U.S. Congress and the president do. I can't find myself getting all hot and bothered about, you know, music file copying. At the same time I'm seeing, you know, war machines, white phosphorus, drone, robotic killers all over other countries because they happen to live over oil resources that our oil corporations are lusting after. You can't have it both ways. You can't have, you know, kids respecting the ownership of copyrights under a government that does not respect the ownership of other countries for their natural resources. It just doesn't work. All righty, let's see. Kentucky just passed a law similar to the one in Indiana. The cops can go into your home searching for drugs without a warrant. Talking about a new bill where they can go into your home without you knowing. And again, it's part of this repression, this keeping you scared. Oh, you better not do anything. The police can come into your home anytime they want without a warrant if they suspect there are drugs in the house. I think I have some Advil. Yeah, here we go. There we are. There's the drugs in my house. Headache pills. It's part of that repression, that keeping you afraid to speak out, that keeping you afraid to make preparations to take care of yourself because the government is not going to do it. The goal of the government is to keep you dependent on the big corporations who are paying tax revenues to the government to keep you dependent on them. Instead of learning how to have your own community survive, you know, the coming crash of the entire system. The money junkies are still thinking money junkie logic, and they're not really preparing for the crash that is coming because they refuse to believe that they have taken this nation to the edge of collapse. They won't believe it until it's all over. They absolutely will not. History has shown us time and time again that every government that destroys their own nation, they don't understand what it is they've done until it's all over, and they're standing in the middle of the wreckage, scratching their heads and saying, how the heck did we get here? We used to be the greatest nation on earth. How did we get here? And then they start going back, and they look at that long history of all the bad decisions that were made, in this case, all the way back to 1913, when the Congress, President Woodrow Wilson, sold the American people into bondage to a private central bank. And today, what we're looking at in front of us is the end result of that decision, almost 100 years ago. All righty, let's see. George in Texas. Aloha, George. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike?
Hanging in there.
Well, I just say one thing about the music industry. They ain't got no new music coming out. And if you look at American Idol, they're having to rehash the old stuff. Because none of the new stuff is worth really listening to.
It's rather interesting if you study the history of music. When rock and roll first came around, back in the 1960s, when rock was just coming out and it was in garage bands and everything, and people were doing lyrics that were challenging the status quo, and it was very revolutionary, and the young people flocked to that music because it was speaking to them about things that they were feeling about what had gone wrong with the country in Vietnam. Well, it became a huge, huge moneymaker, and it got taken over by the big music corporations, but the big music corporations don't want revolutionary lyrics. And so over time, they package and they put the lights and they copy the style of music and the loudness and the electric guitars and they glitz it up. But in the end, the actual intellectual mental content, it's nothing. It's basically, you know, glorification of self-aggrandizement and ego and vanity. And again, crass commercialism, the acquisition of more of these symbols. And so it's really kind of missing. And when I talk about film and TV writing, I talk to students who look at the original Star Trek from the 1960s, and they look at it, and it's so primitive compared to the new versions. And they don't understand why the 1960s Star Trek was so revolutionary and groundbreaking and everybody loved it. It's because back then they had stories that challenged the beliefs of the status quo. They challenged the prime assumptions we were all taught to believe in. TV's first interracial kiss was on Star Trek. Star Trek was notable because it was the first TV show that didn't have everybody puffing on a cigarette, which now we understand that's no big deal. But back then, they almost lost the show because they refused to have, cigarette lighters on the dashboards of the Enterprise. And that was all revolutionary. And it's been bland, and they don't do that anymore. It's got the trappings of Star Trek, but not the content. And modern music and entertainment has the trappings, but not the content. We'll be right back.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Last segment today. We're wrapping up here. A couple of stories. First of all, as you probably heard, and in violation of my earlier dictum, Strauss-Kahn has been indicted on 7 counts of sexual assault. He has been granted $1 million bail with an electronic bracelet on his ankle. And supposedly he's surrendered his travel documents, his passport, and promised to waive the French non-extradition. Okay, and I think anybody who thinks this guy is actually going to go to jail is delusional. And he's probably going to wind up down in the Caymans playing canasta with Ken Lay, or he'll magically disappear from the United States and be in France and say, you know, I don't need to come back there and face the charges. It's beneath my dignity. I'm a banker. Bankers are above the law, so forth and so on. And that is kind of the real lesson of this circumstance. Ben Stein said it. Bankers don't get convicted of this kind of crime. Doesn't mean they're not doing it. It means that, like medieval lords and ladies, it's just accepted. They're allowed to do things that the ordinary serfs are not. When Ersebat Bathory was convicted of just randomly murdering people around her castle, the king had to convene a special court to have the trial because under the laws of the time, it was legal for her to do that. Just take a peasant and kill them for fun. It was taken to excess, and unfortunately her downfall was that she murdered somebody who was actually a part of a noble family in another district. But they had to change the laws in order to even bring her to trial. And it's no secret that a big part of ruling structures throughout history is that the nobility, the elect, the clergy, whatever, are allowed to do things that ordinary people are not. Good example currently being the Vatican and child sexual molestation, where even the latest guidelines from the Vatican are, you know, you don't have to report it to the police. It's none of their business. Just threaten them with the dark regions and go back to doing what you're doing before. We're above that. We're above the laws of mere mortal men. And as I said earlier, a lot of stories coming out of Hollywood, people who got away with really horrendous crimes because they had money and power and a lot of other businesses depended on them. So much for the all men are created equal thing. Now, very disturbing trend, last story of the day here. We are starting to see a leak of propaganda across the internet and the blogosphere that somebody has proof that Iran was behind 9/11. I guess now that they've knocked off the guy playing Osama bin Laden, they need a new villain to tarnish with. So, again, the big prize is Iran. All of this going into Syria and Lebanon and all these other countries, and now Pakistan is to encircle Iran because Iran is the prize. Iran is the nation that is the biggest economic threat to Israel, not military. Iran doesn't attack people. They haven't attacked another, have not invaded another country since 1979. But Israel wants them broken up into little tiny helpless countries. And they want the U.S. to do it. And so here we go. We're starting to see these little trial balloons of, oh yeah, Iran was directly involved in 9/11. Now, so far, they're just press releases about a lawsuit that are being put out on websites that do nothing but echo press releases without checking them for accuracy. And it's a good way to plant and to launder propaganda. But this is the beginning of a run-up. If the U.S. government cannot get a major war going, they're finished economically and politically. Don't fall for it. We're going to take... this is it. This is the end of the show. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, stay angry, stay skeptical. Especially stay skeptical. Everybody's lying to you right now. Be your own best analyst, and aloha, America.